Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Second Body by Daisy Hildyard is a short work of literary nonfiction that combines ecological philosophy, science writing, and personal essay. Its central idea is that every living being, especially every human being in the modern world, has two bodies. The first is the immediate animal body that eats, sleeps, breathes, suffers, and moves through local space. The second is the distributed body formed by ecological consequences. Resource use, emissions, consumption, and participation in global systems that extend far beyond personal perception. Hildyard approaches this idea through encounters with butchers, scientists, animals, rural landscapes, and the experience of flooding in her own home. Rather than offering a program for environmental action, the book asks how a person can think honestly about scale, responsibility, and embodiment when individual life is inseparable from planetary processes. Its purpose is exploratory, unsettling familiar boundaries between self, animal life, and biosphere. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the two bodies as a model of individual life and planetary consequence. The most distinctive concept in the second body is the separation between the first body and the second body. The first body is familiar, sensory, and limited. It is the body that feels hunger, fatigue, weather, illness, and touch. The second body is harder to grasp because it is dispersed through supply chains, ecosystems, atmospheric change, and the lives of other species affected by human activity. Hildyard does not treat this as a simple metaphor for a carbon footprint, although that idea is part of its meaning. The second body is more troubling because it suggests that modern human existence is never purely private or local. A person may feel separate from distant environmental effects, yet that same person participates in systems that alter landscapes, climates, and biological relations. The concept is powerful because it exposes a mismatch between experience and impact. People normally understand responsibility through actions they can see, but ecological life operates at scales that the senses cannot hold. Hildyard uses this mismatch to question whether individuality remains adequate as a way of understanding human life. Secondly, animal embodiment and the limits of knowing other forms of life. Hildyard repeatedly returns to animals because they make the first body vivid, while also testing human assumptions about perception and identity. Animals can be touched, handled, eaten, cared for, studied, or observed, but their inner experience remains partly inaccessible. This matters because the book is not only about environmental damage, it is also about the difficulty of imagining life from outside the human body. Encounters with animals show how easily humans reduce other beings to categories such as meat, specimen, pet, pest, or data point. At the same time, animal bodies resist full translation into human terms. Their presence reminds readers that being alive involves bodily vulnerability, appetite, movement, and dependence on surrounding conditions. Hildyard uses this problem to complicate environmental ethics. If another creature cannot be fully known, ethical relation cannot depend only on perfect understanding. It must begin with recognition of difference and entanglement. The book, therefore, makes animal life central to ecological thought, not as decoration or sentiment, but as evidence that individuality is always biological and relational. Thirdly, scientific inquiry as a way to unsettle everyday ideas of the self. The second body draws on scientific settings and conversations without becoming a conventional popular science book. Hildyard is interested in the way scientific knowledge changes the scale at which a body can be imagined. Biology, genetics, ecology, and evolutionary thinking all challenge the idea that a human being is a sealed unit. A body contains processes inherited from deep time, depends on other organisms, and participates in networks of matter and energy. Scientific inquiry in the book is therefore not used simply to explain facts. It functions as a pressure on ordinary language and perception. When a person learns to see life through ecological or molecular relations, familiar categories such as self, animal, environment, and agency become less stable. This approach reflects Hildyard's training in the history of science, since she is attentive to how concepts shape what people notice. The book values scientific literacy, but it also recognizes that science does not automatically solve the moral confusion produced by global interdependence. Knowledge expands perception, yet it can also intensify unease. Fourthly, climate disruption made local through the flooded home. One of the clearest moments in the book comes through Hildyard's account of flooding in North Yorkshire. The flooded home brings the abstract idea of the second body into contact with ordinary domestic life. Climate change and ecological disruption are often discussed through global data, future projections, or distant disasters. A flood reverses that distance. Water enters the private space where the first body normally feels sheltered, and the boundary between home and environment becomes unstable. This episode is important because it does not turn the author into a model of perfect ecological virtue. Instead, it reveals the tension between believing in climate change intellectually and acting within the habits, desires, and compromises of modern life. The Flood also shows why the second body is emotionally difficult to inhabit. Environmental change is both collective and intimate, both caused by dispersed systems and suffered in particular places. Hildyard does not resolve this contradiction into a simple lesson. She presents it as the lived condition of people who know they are implicated in the forces that threaten them. Lastly, a non-prescriptive ethics of scale, implication, and uncertainty, the second body stands apart from much environmental writing because it avoids direct instruction. Hildyard does not offer a checklist for sustainable living, a policy platform, or a redemptive story in which awareness leads cleanly to action. This restraint can make the book challenging, but it is also central to its honesty. The problem she describes is not only that people behave badly toward the environment. It is that the scale of ecological consequence exceeds the forms of moral judgment people usually rely on. A single act can seem negligible, while billions of similar acts become planetary force. A person can feel innocent in the first body while remaining implicated through the second. Hildyard explores the discomfort of this condition rather than smoothing it over. The ethical value of the book lies in sharpening perception. It asks readers to notice how their lives extend into systems they cannot fully see or control. Its uncertainty is not evasive. It reflects the difficulty of making responsible choices inside networks that no individual can master. In conclusion, The Second Body is best suited to readers interested in ecological thought, literary essays, environmental humanities, philosophy of the self, and science-inflected nonfiction. It will especially appeal to those who want climate writing that does more than summarize crisis or prescribe individual lifestyle changes. The practical benefit of the book is not a direct action plan, but a more precise awareness of how personal life is connected to distant ecological effects. It helps readers think about embodiment, consumption, animal life, and responsibility without reducing those issues to slogans. Intellectually, it is valuable because it gives language to a condition many people sense, but struggle to describe the split between local bodily experience and global environmental presence. Compared with more conventional books about climate change or sustainability, Hildyard's work is shorter, more oblique, and more philosophical. It stands out through its unusual central metaphor, its attention to animals and scientific ways of seeing, and its refusal to provide easy consolation. Readers who prefer direct policy argument may find it elusive, but those drawn to reflective, formally inventive nonfiction will find a compact and serious meditation on what it means to live as an animal inside planetary systems. If you would like to support Daisy Hildyard, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.